My name is Nathan, and I'm your host this morning. Welcome to Church in Toronto. If you're new here today, we want you to feel at home. God loves you, and we're so glad to have you here. For those who aren't new, welcome home. We have an event coming up for our kids here at CIT, and that's our Vacation Bible School. It's going to be pretty awesome. It's going to run from July 16th to 20th, and we're actually opening it up to any kids who are going into grades 2 to 6 in September. The kids team has been working really hard on this, and I'm sure it's going to be amazing. So if you're interested, or if you have any questions, or if you want to sign up your kid, please head down to the kids check-in area that's in our front lobby after the service, and there'll be someone there who can answer questions or help you sign up. Here at CIT, we have a mission. It's what our church is all about, and it's what we believe God has placed us here to do. Our mission is to bring people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Part of that is all of us who are in this room or the people who have connections here at CIT. We want to help you build your relationship with Jesus. We want you to really dive into it and go further. And so we have our Sunday morning services, we have community groups, we have city youth, and that's the essence of everything that we're doing. But there's a whole other side to our mission, and that's to bring the people in our larger community into relationship with Jesus. So take a minute and think of somebody in your life who's far from God right now. That could be a friend, or it could be a family member, or a coworker, or a neighbor. They need Jesus. Jesus loves them, and he wants to have a relationship with them. Now think about all of the people who are moving into this area, just within a 2 kilometer radius, whatever. There are so many people coming here and arriving. They need Jesus too. And we want to be a church that can lead them into relationship with Jesus. So, an essential next step for us to be able to do that is to go to 2 services on Sunday morning. This is really exciting. It's going to be awesome. So starting on September 9th, we'll have 2 identical services each week on Sunday morning, one at 9:30 and one at 11:30. And this is so that we can reach people for Jesus. We want to reach them and serve them. God's been doing so much here at CIT over the last year. It's undeniable that we've been blessed. And I'm really excited to see what God is going to do next in our hearts and in our community. With all that being said, I'd like to welcome our teaching pastor, Ian, to come up as we continue our Messiah series in Matthew.
Father, thank you that we could be here this morning hearing from you.
Yeah.
God, we come as we are. We come in the state that we're in. We come with our circumstances. We come with all that stuff. We come to you, Jesus. God, we're so thankful that we have a God who listens, loves, and cares. God, and you're also a God who continues to show us so much more every time we come into contact with you. Lord, you love to move us forward in our walk with you. And so we're here this morning. We lay our hearts open to you, and we pray, take more steps in us this morning. We don't want to leave this room as we came in.
Amen.
Make progress in us this morning. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me make a little adjustment. How you doing? Good?
Good.
My wife and I were away for a few days this week. It's always nice to get away and get a different perspective. So we were down in the London St. Thomas area, which is not, you know, like some exotic destination or anything like that. But it was just nice to get away and get some rest. So like Nathan said, we're in our Messiah series. We are stepping on the gas from this point forward. We are going to finish the Messiah series by the end of the summer. So actually, before the summer ends, really, by the time you guys all go back to school, sorry, that was a bad word for those of you who just finished. So we're going to be in chapter 16 today, but before we get into the actual verses, I want to show you a video, because you may have noticed the more time you spend on something, the more time you spend with someone, the clearer you get on who they are or what's going on. And so I have this little video. So let's start it off, Ayman. Let's see what we got. Okay, so stop right there. What is that? What is it? Okay, let's get you a little clearer. Because right now it's kind of like, well, it could be this, it could be that. So what is it? Oh, stop. Oh, you went too far. That's okay. But it illustrates my point. The more you see, the clearer you get, right? The more you see, the clearer you get. And so our message this morning is called The Slow Reveal. That was a little too fast, but that's okay. Let's try another one. Let's try another one. We'll try another one. Okay, so we got through that one. Okay, let's see this one here. Okay, he's going. Okay, stop right there. What is it? A pepper, right? Most people would say it's a red pepper or something like that. Let's take it out a little slower. Let's have a slow reveal here. Okay, that might be too slow, but that's okay. Maybe, but what are those little fleck marks on there? Stop. What is it? So you see more now. Okay, go a little further, Ayman. Someone's saying it. Go ahead. Ah. Oh. The more you see, the clearer you get, right? It's just that simple. And that happens to us so often in our lives. And so if you've been with us from the beginning of the book of Matthew, you realize that this is what Jesus has been doing. Slowly revealing to his disciples who he is. And we're going to hit chapter 16 today, and the exciting part is they get it. They finally say, wow, you're the Messiah. And he's been, you know, we've been seeing this all along in the book of Matthew. But you think about what it's taken for them to be able to see it. Like, think about the love that he's shown. Think about the compassion that he's shown to people who are in desperate situations. Think about all of the healings that he has done, the casting out of demons, all the teachings that he's done. All of those have slowly revealed. And you know, if you and I, and I believe we're just like the disciples, they're human beings just like us. You know, okay, so if you go back to the Coke bottle top, you know, most of you thought it was red pepper, right? Something like that. And that's sometimes the way we are with Jesus. We think, yeah, that's who I think he is. And then you get a little bit further out and you think, oh, maybe not. And you go through that too in your experience with Jesus. And then sometimes you're like, no, I'm absolutely convinced that it is this. And he's like, and you see a bit more and you're like, I was so wrong. And that is what the disciples have been going through. And get this, it's just over 2 years now. And so as they're kind of going through this, it's exactly the same as what we're going through. There's doubts about who Jesus is. There's expectations about who Jesus should have been. Because remember, they're thinking Messiah? Well, Messiah is supposed to be this political person who's going to come and overthrow the Romans, and we're going to get back to the days of David and Solomon. And they're seeing Jesus in the countryside healing people and just loving people and speaking amazing things, but they're not seeing this overthrow. And so maybe they get a glimpse. And they think, I think he really is the Messiah. And then all of a sudden he says something else or does something else. And they're like, no, can't be. It's not coming together like we thought it would. So we're at chapter 16 today. And most people who look at this chapter say, this is the apex. And from here, it kind of goes down, because you'll see at the very end of this message, we are, at the end of the message, we are aiming for Jerusalem. Now that he's made it clear, now that his disciples have got it, that he is the Messiah, now we're heading to Jerusalem, and you'll find out at the end of the message what's going to happen in Jerusalem. Let me read these verses for you. Verse 13 begins this way. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, which is, you know, about 40 kilometers north of Galilee, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And their answer was, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus says, "But you, who do you say that I am?" And then, of course, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So let's just stay here for a little bit. So Jesus is asking his disciples this question. What are people saying about me? What are people saying? What is the word on the street? What is the average person, what do they think about who this Jesus, or he refers to himself as the Son of Man? And pretty much the best that they're doing is saying, "You're a prophet." And let's be honest, like, a prophet is not a bad thing. But it's not complete, is it? Because Jesus is way more than a prophet. I think this is a question some people are asking today, too. Who is this Jesus guy? Who is it? And I think a lot of our colleagues, coworkers, classmates, friends, relatives, they may have an answer. They may have an answer. Maybe their answer is, you know what? He was a good man. Or, you know, he's just like one of those holy men who just kind of do their thing. Or some might say he was a miracle worker. Others might say he was a great teacher. We saw that when we were in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And then other people might say, you know what? He is a warrior for social justice, taking care of people who are in need. And again, all of those things are good answers, but they're not complete because Jesus is so much more than that. So I think there's one interesting thing that point we can make here. The people who the disciples were drawing from to get these answers to give to Jesus, we typically call them the crowd. So I think one thing we should be clear on here is the crowd was wrong, right? Isn't that fair to say? The crowd was wrong. And there are people in your life and my life who have understandings of who they think Jesus is, and they're wrong. And you may be here this morning and you have an understanding of who you think Jesus is, and you're wrong. Sometimes the crowd is wrong. Sometimes what the common understanding in society of who Jesus is, they're wrong. So, you know, the YouTuber that you follow, I should look on this side of the room, right? Although they're dispersed these days, which is interesting. You know, the YouTubers that you follow, and they've got all kinds of opinions about everything, all the bloggers that you follow, and they've got all kinds of trendy things and hip, you know, this, and, you know, you got guys with long beards and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I have nothing against beards. I wish I could grow one. I can't. It just comes in really patchy, and it's like, just give it up. They're wrong. You know, they may be right on a number of things. We have a lot of experts on the earth today, but when it comes to Jesus, they're wrong. And it's okay to say, you know, they may be right on this, but they're wrong when it comes to the most important question. Who is Jesus? That's a really important, you don't want to mess that question up. Or at least you don't want to mess your answer up. Then look what he says to the disciples. Okay, I get it. That's where, you know, that's where people are at. You know, that's where that's what they're saying about me. Now let me turn to you, my closest companions, the men who've been following me now for 2 years. You've been with me every single day. You see me do all kinds of things. You've heard things. Who do you say that I am? And so now that question comes to you, doesn't it? It comes to your feet. It comes to your door. And it's knocking this morning. How about you? I know who your friends and who your coworkers, and maybe they're wrong, but how about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter, he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Did Peter get it right?
Yes.
Right. Do you think it was a guess?
No,
it was based upon all kinds of revelation that he had received. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, he's walking along all of a sudden like these bright lights and, wow, I got this revelation. And you know, no, he's with Jesus, spending time with Jesus. And there's a slow revealing of who Jesus really is. Peter is getting it slowly but surely. Of course, he says, you are the Messiah. Of course, that's the one that God has promised from the very beginning, who's going to come and set everything right. And he's saying, you are the Son of the living God. You know, there's a living God. You know the alternative to that, right? There's a lot of dead gods. Right? There's a lot of dead gods. And so as I'm laying this question at your door this morning, at your feet, the question is, who is Jesus? Is he the Son of the living God, or is he just some other dead god? You know, who was a really, really good man, had great teachings, did some really nice things for poor people. Who is Jesus to you? You know, so to you, you know, you may just feel like, well, you know, the kind of God that I'm following right now, and this may be some of you, is things like money. Your God may be money. And the more you can get, the better it is. And you think, I will have life. I will have a better life if I have more money. Is there anybody who buys into that this morning? I know you might be a bit scared now, right? It's like, okay, this might not be the time to raise my... But check it out. Find out from people who have lots of money. And I'm not saying, like, throw all your money away. We need to be real good stewards with the money that God gives to us. But is our God, is what we are worshiping, is what is we're focusing on, is it money? Because that's dead. And when you worship a dead god, guess what happens to you? You die. You're just dead. It doesn't give you life at all. It may give you some like momentary excitement, but it's not going to give you the kind of life that God can give to you. And for you, maybe it's not money, but maybe it's power or fame. Or maybe for you, it's, you know, if I just had that relationship. Jesus is the Son of the living God. If you are in relationship with him, I guarantee this to you. You will have life. Life like you've not experienced it before. Will you have a job? Yes. And the way that you operate in that job will be totally different than if you didn't have him. If you allow him to enliven you through the whole thing. So when I, you know, when I started looking at this message, I thought, yeah, the message title really should be The Slow Reveal. And I believe that. But I also believe it should be There's Even More. And so I was kind of like, what should I call this message? The Slow Reveal or There's Even More? So let me tell you a little bit about the even more, because I think this is really, really important. When we come to verse, can you put the next verses on for me? Yeah, verse 17. Look at this. Because Jesus, you know, you might think, oh, Jesus, you just heard the answer you wanted to hear. Your disciples got it. They heard. You're the Messiah. Jesus says, that's right. You got it right. But there's more. And if you've walked with Jesus for any amount of time, you realize there's more. And when you think like you've seen it all, there's more. And so look what he does. He says to Peter, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. So then who did reveal this to Peter? My Father. So you realize this, God is revealing all the time. God is revealing things about himself all the time. And we already said, this is Peter who's been following Jesus for 2+ years now. Think about Peter as a young man, as a young boy growing up in that area. Where do you think he went on the weekends? Do you think he went to something called synagogue? He's a typical Jewish boy, right?
Yes.
What age do you think he started going to synagogue at? Probably when he was, right? He was like some of you in this room. I know you don't like it, right? Some of you say, oh, I hate it when people say, I changed your diapers. But that's part of the consequences of growing up in a Christian community, right? Am I right, John? You probably, do you have people who say that to you? Maybe not in this room, right? And, you know, as a 30-year-old, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, I used to have to. But Peter's no different. Peter, you know, there could be an older lady who's sitting there, Peter, I used to change your diapers. Peter's been going to the synagogue since he was a little boy. But you know what's been happening? All of the time that he's been going to synagogue, all those times and hearing about God and being in his family and having prayer time around the table and hearing stories about, you know, what God did in the Exodus and he brought people out. You know what that's doing for him? That's laying a base in that young man, and it's revealing to him who God is. And it's been going on for a very, very long time. So God is the one who reveals. And finally, he got it. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in England, for those of you who don't know. So I left England in 1974, which is a really long time ago for some of you in this room. But anyway, yes, there was something called the 70s, which is probably better than the 60s. From what I hear, I was born in England, and my mom and dad sent me to Sunday school. They're not Christians; they just wanted to sleep in longer. So they sent me off to Sunday school. And so, what do you think was happening there? Something is being laid as a base in this heart. And I'm starting to understand this thing called Jesus and God. I didn't get it right away. Then my family in 1974 moved to South Africa, and we stayed there for 4 years, or 3 or 4 years. And while I was there, I was also encountering God. God didn't give up on me because he's got some revealing to do. And while I was there, there was a young lady who was a friend of our family, and she would tell me all about Jesus, and she already was a Christian. And so slowly it happened. And then eventually in 1977, we moved to Canada, and we just happened to, you know, buy a house behind my future wife's house. And so I married the girl next door. I know a number of you have heard that before. But her family was a Christian family, And I would just hear the stories of Jesus all the time. And so what do you think God is doing since the early 60s and 70s in England through South Africa all the way to Canada? He's slowly revealing who it is. In 1981, I got it. I got it, right? What did I get? I didn't say, oh, I got it. No, I saw Jesus. No, I don't mean physically. Okay, not like that, you know, that kind of thing on the screen. But I got saved.
Amen.
Right? I just said, all right, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
It all makes sense. But it's a slow, slow reveal for many of us. I don't believe anybody, here's the first time, well, I guess it can happen, but very rare. You hear about Jesus one time and say, I'm in. It takes time. It really, really takes time. Think about our kids' ministry here at CIT. Do you understand what those teachers are doing every single week? It may not be the same teachers every week, but you know, like they are sowing into those kids. God is revealing himself in those kids little bit by little bit by little bit. And eventually, they get it, right? Then they come to youth. I remember there was a young boy, this just happened probably last summer. He had gone through, you know, all of the kids' ministry and everything else. Bright, bright young man, young boy, sorry. And then he went through our grade 6 gospel conference, and that's where we give our young people an opportunity to receive Jesus. And he kind of said he did, and I don't think he really did. And so, you know, he was with us in youth and everything else, and everything's fine. He's a really, really nice young boy. But there was one, we were just talking about baptism last year, and he was troubled. And I wasn't sure, was it because he was, he just needed to get baptized, or was there something else? And so I remember we broke up from our time with youth, and he was sitting on the table, the Connect table out here. And I went up to him and I said, hey, are you okay? And he's like, I don't know. And I said to him, are you having trouble trying to figure out whether you're saved or not? He said, yeah. And it was so sweet because we just right there had the opportunity to engage with God and come in relationship with God. And I promise you this, that young man has not been the same since. It took something for him to get to the point where he says, I get it, I'm receiving Jesus. And parents, I can't stop this point without saying to you, because you have such an important job to sow into your kids. So, day after day, and I know it gets like crazy sometimes as a parent, but tell your kids about Jesus. Read Bible stories to your kids, because you know what's happening? Slowly, they're getting the whole thing's starting to make sense to them. I remember a number of months ago now, my daughter-in-law, she was in our home group, and she was just kind of chatting with everybody. And there came a point where she just started talking about kids and things like that. And she says, you know what I've realized? I'm here, and she's talking about her own two little girls. She says, I'm here to make disciples for Jesus. What a great view as a parent. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help our kids to know who Jesus is and to follow Jesus, right?
Right.
We're part of the reveal that God is doing. So it doesn't matter where we are, whether we're in kids ministry, youth ministry, whether we're parents, whatever it is, God is revealing things slowly. But then, let's go back to those verses. He does say this. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build
my church.
I will build my church. There's more. Peter, all the rest of the disciples, it's not just about you getting that I'm the Messiah. Now I want you to be together. There's no such thing as a church at this point. Like, there's no organized church at this point. This is something that's coming in the future. Jesus is just laying the groundwork for it. But he's saying, it is important because you are human beings and you are made for community. You need to be together with one another. I will build my church. What happens in church is more revealing, right? You come here, you come in in one state, like you may be all, you know, kind of, oh, I can't believe this and that. And you sit down, you begin to, you know, sing a few songs. And you're like, I'm not going to do anything. This morning, I don't want to sing. I don't want to open my mouth. I don't even want to stand. I'm just going to sit. And maybe that's the state that you come in. But slowly, God begins to touch your heart in church, in community, in his community. And eventually you're like, yeah, that guy who keeps yelling at us, he's kind of making sense. He's kind of making sense. And things begin to change in your heart, and your heart begins to soften, your heart begins to receive what's going on. That's what happens. That's what happens in church. A lot of times, that's what happens. And the beautiful thing is we get to do it all together. And then, of course, you have community groups, which are just a smaller form of church as well. I would just give you this kind of thought this morning. God has more for you than you are currently experiencing. God has more for you than you are currently experiencing. And I hope you can have that kind of a thought and that kind of an expectation as you go forward in your Christian life. There's more. God has more for you. But go back to the verses for me again, Ivan. This is crazy. There's still more. He doesn't just leave it at that. He's not just like, okay, good. So you know who I am and you're going to have a community. So that should be good. Jesus says, no, that's not enough. You got to know this as well. Look at 19. I will give you the keys. If you are a born again believer, if you have given your heart to Jesus, you have a key. And you know what a key does? Come on now. Do you know what a key does? It can either lock or unlock. And I'll tell you this. You go all the way to chapter 23, verse 13. Don't go there now. The Pharisees and the scribes were experts at locking the doors to keep people out. But Jesus says, I'm going to give you keys. And those keys are going to unlock the kingdom for people. So think about our responsibility. God is revealing to you and I this morning, we've got responsibility here. It's not just, hey, I know that Jesus is Messiah, and oh, I go to church. God is saying, there's a little bit more here. You've got responsibility. Have you got your key? I'm going to ask it again. Have you got your key?
Yes.
Because if you're saved, you got the key. The problem is it may be lost or something, right? That doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It just means, where is it? So here's what I'm saying to you. You and I have a responsibility to unlock doors for people. Nathan asked, do you have someone in your life who you'd love to see here? Because you got the key. So let me tell you of how you can start using that key. The first thing you can do is start praying for them. And like Nathan said, maybe you've been praying for them for a while. Keep praying for them. Open that door through prayer. But also open that door through speaking. Just keep speaking to them. Your prayer, your speaking is going to slowly reveal who God is. And then when you ask them to come in September, you can ask them earlier than that. You don't have to wait till September 9th. But when we, like, ask them to come to church and see what happens. You know what the difficulty for us is sometimes? We invite people to come to church and we think, oh, if you don't get saved, then something's wrong. Why are you thinking like that? Just keep inviting, keep praying, keep speaking, keep inviting them to come here. And when they come here, watch what God does. And maybe, this is why you have to have a longer view, maybe you are the first person who has started that revealing process to them. Maybe you're the first person. We love it when we see people cross the finish line and get saved. But maybe you're the person with the gun who's saying, go. Maybe you're starting them on this journey. It doesn't matter where you are in the course of their coming to God. Just be happy God has put somebody in your heart. You can pray for them. You can speak to them. You can invite them to come and let God do the revealing. It's not your job. Your job is pray, speak, and invite. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. You got your key. You got your key. I think you can start using it a lot more. Neil, is that good? Yeah. How many keys you got? You only need one, right? Who cares how many keys? You only need the one key, and you got the key. Just do that. One more point. Because you would think, oh, that should be enough, right? Not enough. Not enough. Go back to the verses. Oh, yeah. So then he says, yeah, all that thing about it. Go to the very last verse, 21. Oh, my goodness. This was hard. Because, you know, they just heard this. I told you, right? This is the apex. Like, you can't get better than this. Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to have this incredible thing called a church. It's a community for all his believers. That church is going to be mobilized, opening up doors for all kinds of people. And then he says, from then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem. Okay, so far so good. And suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed. Jesus is revealing more. And be raised on the third day. Jesus is revealing more of what he is doing. Of course, those of us who know this story well, you know what Matthew helps us to see, right? Peter's like, no way, that's not gonna happen. And that's sometimes what happens with us when God is revealing certain things to us. We're like, no chance that that's gonna happen. But listen, this is so important. All the wonderful things that we've seen this morning about his church and opening up doors of freedom to people, it's never going to happen unless Jesus Christ goes to Jerusalem, is crucified, dies, and is raised on the third day. Isn't that incredible? That's the entire Christian story right there. Right? It's like Jesus is the Messiah. He is going to go to the cross and die for all of our sin. And if he doesn't die for our sin, it remains. And we can't have access to God. And so he says, look, I'm the key. I'm the key person. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to open up the door and you can have access to God. If I don't open that door and die for your sin, you don't have access to God. You'll remain in the state that you're in. And I don't want that. And so he willingly went to the cross and he died. And I can't stop today without you know, bringing this kind of thought to somebody's door. Is this the day for you where the key goes in and it unlocks and finally you say, I want to receive Jesus. Today's my day. Today's the day where I say, my sin is forgiven because of what Jesus has done. I want you to simply pray. Pray in your heart. If that's you this morning, just pray in your heart. Just pray these words. God, thank you. Thank you for taking care of all of my sin. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for opening the door to a new life for me. And I accept you this morning as my Savior and as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we just want to thank you so much for what you have spoken to us this morning. Thank you that you are a God who continues to reveal more and more and more. You do it slowly, and that's okay. Sometimes we get impatient, but God, keep us on track. Keep us seeing what you're doing in our life and what you're showing us about yourself. God, we're here this morning just expecting that there is more that you will reveal to us. God, we love you. We praise you for all the way for the way that you are operating in our lives. God, we pray that you would mobilize us, even encourage us this morning to start praying, start speaking, start inviting. God, there are many people in this neighborhood who are coming more and more as this neighborhood builds up. God, there are people whose lives you want to change, and we may be the people who are going to open that door for them. God, we just pray as humble servants, Lord, you would use us and you would use us well. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ian. That was a lot of things. I know it's definitely true, been true in my life that that God's revealed himself slowly. There are probably an embarrassing number of people in this room who have changed my diaper. I've been here forever. And yeah, slowly as I was a child, I heard Bible stories and I was told by my parents that Jesus loves me and by people in this community that God loves me. And when I was 7 years old, I knelt down beside my parents' bed and they prayed with me. And I understood enough at that point that I could be saved, that Jesus died for me to take away my sins. And since then, it hasn't stopped, exactly as Ian said. It hasn't stopped. I've been learning and growing in community. And just this year, my wife decided that she wanted to read the Bible all the way through. And so she inspired me, and I'm doing the same thing this year. And even just that, it's a simple thing, but it's been helping me to grow, and God's been revealing himself. This is the end of our service. Thank you so much for coming. We look forward to seeing you again next week. Oh, sorry, one more thing. If this was the first time that you prayed a prayer to accept Jesus into your heart, please come to the front and talk to Ian or myself. We would love to have a conversation with you. Thanks.